I will hear from wrong, and I'll die in the mirror.
Welcome to our group.
And this ought to show it right here.
Do you or someone you know suffer from depression? If so, please contact the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to our Medical Wednesday night broadcast with your host, our Colonel Kimberly Purvis. Tonight's topic, cardiac problems. Be sure to tune in. Listen up, always a very informative, important show that we do here on Blog Talk Radio, and we encourage everybody to participate. That being said, allow me to bring in your host, our Colonel, Ms. Kimberly Purvis.
Howdy, howdy.
Howdy.
I do have to say, I'm lucky I'm even on the show tonight. I fell asleep. I fell asleep. At 6 o'clock, I'm sitting here. I put a movie on. And it's a movie that takes place in Australia, which is, you know, I've been watching a lot of other countries in their movies and stuff. Next thing I know, it's freaking 6:30, and I'm like, damn, I fell asleep. And so I was like, oh, I better wake up. Whew. I've been going to work at 7 o'clock every day this week.
Damn.
I know, I'm freaking tired, but... So, yeah, I thought we'd do a show on... cardiac problems, and I want to do the most common ones. I mean, because there's a shit ton of cardiac problems. Heart failure, AFib, heart attacks, coronary artery disease or CAD, myocarditis, angina, cardiac arrest, VTAC, atrial septal defect, and pericarditis. So those are the most common types of heart disease. And it's, I believe heart disease is up there as one of the biggest killers, not just in America, but in worldwide. And part of the problem is why it's so prevalent, especially in America. Take a look at not just Americans' diets, but what's in our food. You know, everything's all about what you want. I'll call it I won't say fast food, but. But you know what I'm saying? We have a lot of shitty food. And our FDA doesn't care what's in our food. I don't care anybody says, and I'll argue that fact, because there's foods that in America that you can't get in other countries because of what's in the food. And look at other countries, even third world countries, if you think about it, look at their diet. It's a lot healthier. Honestly, you know, high blood pressure. Don't get me wrong. High blood pressure is a big cause of what leads into other health problems. So the first one is heart failure. And I get a lot of my information, usually the Mayo Clinic, the Cleveland Clinic, NIH. I'm trying to think of some other pretty good websites. But I like the Mayo Clinic. I know Phyllis talked about other I forgot what the other website was. But so heart failure, also sometimes known as CHF or congestive heart failure. And so that will occur when the heart muscle doesn't pump blood as well as it used to. And so when that happens, blood often backs up and fluid can build up in the lungs, causing shortness of breath. Also, people with CHF, they'll have their legs will be swollen. And you'll see a lot of – and here's the thing. Just because you may be young doesn't mean you can't have any of these cardiac problems. Okay? Because one thing that's really irritating is to say someone in their – and I'm going to say – I don't know, Bobby, if you've noticed this or not. If you're in your 30s, and you go to the hospital, you'll notice they dismiss it. You know, I was 34 when I had my first heart attack. 34. My dad was 38.
Yeah, I was a little younger than that.
Yeah, and so, but they want to just automatically, oh, it's a panic attack, it's anxiety, blah, blah, blah. Well, the reason why I had was my blood pressure. But see, shut up, dog. I was lucky that I didn't have a stroke because normally high blood pressure causes strokes. But mine, in turn, actually is what caused me to have a heart attack. Now, I didn't have a massive heart attack. I just had a mild one. And So, yeah, I mean, there are some people, and there are different types, and we'll go over when we go over the heart attack. But yeah, congestive heart failure is – I've taken care of a lot of patients with CHF, and some of them struggle, especially when the fluid builds up in their lungs. And so you could have left-sided heart failure or right-sided heart failure. When you have it back up in your lungs, that's when it causes shortness of breath, and you'll know those people when their lungs are filled up and they can hardly breathe. So certain heart conditions, such as narrowed arteries in the heart or high blood pressure, gradually leave the heart too weak or stiff to fill and pump the blood properly. You'll notice that when the heart doesn't work, it's a muscle. And so it has to, you know, pump the blood go through your body and everything, and that's the whole thing with heart failure. Proper treatment can improve signs and symptoms of heart failure, and people are living longer. Well, as long as you have access to proper health care, that's the other thing. And you have lifestyle changes and – like losing weight, exercising, reducing salt in your diet, and managing stress, which is a joke in today's day and age. We are so stressed out as a society, as a whole. We just have so much shit going on that you have to unplug. And if that means going camping, going for a drive, I don't care what you do. You're going to de-stress your life somehow. Because the way things are today, it's hard, and that's why when my doctor says de-stress, I laugh. Oh, shit. My dog unlocked the door. I think these dogs luck out. When he stretches on the door, he actually unlocks the deadbolt. Little turd. I think that's how they got the door open before. Shut up. I'm getting a bark collar. I don't care what anybody says. I'm getting a bark collar to shut her up. Oh, my God. And whoever said that Great Pyrenees dogs don't bark, they lie. They lie. Lie, lie, lie. Because this one never shuts up. So anyway.
Typical woman.
Nah. Anywho, so heart failure can be life-threatening. Well, no duh. With the word heart and failure together, that is life-threatening. And then there's two words that you don't want to put together. People with heart failure may have severe symptoms, and some need a heart transplant or a ventricular assist device. Now, I've actually taken care of two patients with an LVAD, and it actually beats – it's a machine that's – the cords are like – actually, you're plugged into your heart, and the little – it's really cool. But you actually – and they can, you can live up to 10, 15 years with those. And what's weird is people usually don't die from that. You know what they die from is multi-organ failure, not from the LVAD itself. So, and we just recently, for my hospice job, recently just passed from with his LVAD. But like I said, multi-organ failure is usually what happens with that. But, yeah, and your heart, the machine beats for your heart. So you got batteries, you got to plug it in. I mean, the whole nine yards. It's got everything. It's like having I'm going to stop a dog today. So some of the symptoms of heart failure could be ongoing, chronic, or, I mean, boom, just out of the blue. And that's usually when people are younger, usually. I'm not saying someone in their 50s or 60s can't. But a lot of times with any of your illnesses, it's going to be a gradual onset, you know what I'm saying? And you'll, like, we're just going to say, for instance, because these are the same symptoms for a majority of all illnesses, nausea, vomiting, constipation, diarrhea, right? And I'm not saying this is for heart disease. I'm just saying in general. So say your body starts giving you little hints, right? And you have, like, constant nausea and vomiting. And then it goes into the constipation or diarrhea or whatever, and it just continues to get worse and worse. And so then you graduate to the worst symptoms. Well, the same thing, that's the chronic. That's ongoing. And then it's going to typically get worse and worse and worse. And then, bam, Bob's your uncle, and, you know, unfortunately, you die or something bad happens. But can you hear this pain in the ass barking? Can you hear her?
Yeah.
Bobby.
She sounds cute.
Oh, yeah. The spawn of Chucky. I'm going to have to throw her. I have to. I mean, shut up. I'm not putting you. See, and when I go to get up, then the other two idiots want to go out. Hold on a second. Dog, I'm going to punch you right in the dick. Yesterday, I got to walk these two idiots real quick, like 2 seconds. Yesterday, my dog, my pit, and Pat's dog, the blue healer, were in the kitchen. And my new puppy was in the living room. Well, needless to say, my dog kind of growled or a little, you know, that little at the puppy because she's so hyper. Well, it scared her. And so Pat had pushed back one of the dogs, and Pat's dog went to bite him. Because he was pushing him out of the way. And my dog's like, oh, hell no. You're not going to go after. So she got really protective of Pat. Well, if you guys, if any of you guys know about my two idiots, these two have been into some major dogfights in the last year and a half, and we don't know what's going on with them and why they're acting so stupid. Well, anyway, long story short, poor Pat, he had to pin my dog between the glass door and him, and he was holding his dog back, and I had to jump up. And this is the worst part. I had jumped up without my knee brace on again, and I had to grab his dog and pick him up and just, I mean, I'm holding him in the air, this freaking 50-pound dead weight, and my poor dog, she was scared. She didn't know what was going on yesterday. But the joys of having multiple dogs. All right, so is anybody else on, Bobby? Just me and you?
Lorna's here.
Is that it? Oh, okay. Hold on, I got to let out Dingleberry here, and then we can...
I'm on. I had to have it on mute because I had to wash up 50 million dishes.
Oh, okay. Ah, crap.
About time you did something.
Hold on. Okay.
Yeah. Well, when I only eat once a day, maybe here, and then I wash dishes after somebody that eats 10 times a day, it kind of pisses me off.
Well, you know what's hard? There's two adults in this house. Two freaking adults. And two dogs. Well, now we have three dogs. I swear to God, three dogs make a bigger mess than five children.
Oh, tell me about it. Ralph has been puking up a storm. I mean, he hadn't ate since last Thursday. And then... when you drink water, you would pick it back up. And after a $400 vet bill and finding that he is in perfect health, I still don't know what's wrong with him, but he started eating tonight.
Oh, it could be a dog food. Okay. So some of, just get back to the, now I'm short of breath. So some of the symptoms, signs of the symptoms of heart failure, shortness of breath with activity, or when lying down, fatigue, weakness. Damn, my things are so loud. Hold on. My headphones are so loud. Okay. Swelling, like I was saying, swelling of in the legs, ankles, and feet. You'll see them. You look like you have cankles, and I call them cankles. It's ankles and calves, and it's just all in one. Rapid or irregular heartbeat, reduced ability to exercise, a persistent cough or wheezing with white or pink-tinged mucus. Now, the thing about that is, see, and this is why you have to pay attention what's going on with your body. So this is saying, what they're saying is if you're, would you cough up, if it's got a pink tinge to it, that's also a sign of TB. So like I said, there's a lot of illnesses that have the same symptoms, but you have to really pay attention and go, well, if I got fatigue, you know, all this other stuff, but TB ain't got that. I'm like, okay, so that's what I'm saying. You got to pay attention. Swelling of the abdomen, rapid weight gain from fluid buildup, a lot of times, and CHFers need to be constantly weighed. Some doctors have one getting weighed every single day. Some are once a week. Because if you're going to the bathroom, and these people are going to be on Lasix, potassium, you name it, all different kinds of water pills, because they can gain, and the thing is, they don't want you to gain any more than, some are 5 pounds. Like today, I can lose 5 pounds. And then gain 10 pounds tomorrow, which means your body's not pumping out the fluid. It has nowhere to go, so where's it going to go? In your body. So that's why it's important for CHFers to get weighed all the time. So a couple pound weight loss from day to day is okay. It's not. It's once you get over 5 pounds, that's what really depicts how far along you are, or you know, nausea or the lack of appetite, difficulty concentrating or decreased alertness, and chest pain if heart failure is caused by a heart attack. When to see your doctor? If you have CHF, if you have any of those problems that get out of hand, chest pain, fainting or severe weakness, rapid or irregular heartbeat associated with shortness of breath, chest pain or fainting. So you can have that rapid or irregular heartbeat, but as long as you don't have the other stuff with it at the same time. So that's why I said sudden severe shortness of breath and coughing up foamy mucus. Not cool. So, like I said, and this is what this is saying too. So these symptoms may be due to heart failure, but there's other possible causes as well. But the thing is, COPDers, stage 4 and stage COPD have the same problem. But here's the thing when you look at either one of those. In order to get to stage 4 of anything, you got to go through stages 1, 2, and 3. You're going to know this. And it usually takes years. Usually takes years to get through each of those stages. Sometimes you can go through it, boom, just one stage right after another. Some people can go 10 plus years before they get to the end stage of anything. So, you know, if you have a diagnosis of heart failure and if any of the symptoms become suddenly worse or you develop a new sign or symptom, that may it may mean that the existing heart failure is getting worse or not responding to treatment. So, and this is saying about if you gain 5 pounds or more within a few days. Most, like I said, most of the time, it's within 1 to 2 days. So I've seen patients get weighed every day with – hold on a second. I'm going to add that to my – I'm going to save some of this because I've got to print some of this out for some of my residents at work. AFib – is another one, and that is an irregular heart rhythm that begins in your heart's upper chambers, your atrium. And a lot of people who have AFib, you'll see all the medications that they're on. There's a lot of good medications for people with AFib. So symptoms include fatigue, heart palpitations, trouble breathing, and dizziness. And AFib is one of the most common arrhythmias. So risk factors include high blood pressure, coronary artery disease, and we're going to go over that, over CAD or CAD, and being obese. Untreated AFib can lead to a stroke. So, oh, and by the way, I don't know if any medical people are listening to the show. I don't know how true this is or not, but according to certain cardiologists, they no longer call it a TIA, a trans ischemic attack. It's now just simply called a stroke. A stroke is a stroke. So it doesn't matter because, you know, they call it mini strokes. We call them TIAs. Now they're saying there's no such thing as that. It's just a stroke, straight out. So I'm like, okay, but a little bit of whatever knowledge. But I don't know. I think that's kind of wrong to say that because if you think about it, look at your headaches. I know this has nothing to do with a headache, but you've got varying degrees of everything. So you don't have just migraines. You know what I'm saying? You have tension headaches, stress headaches, sinus headaches, migraines, all these different types. So why wouldn't you have the same with TIAs and strokes? One's a full-blown stroke where, you know, sometimes if you have a major stroke, you could lose your left side or your right side of your body. Some do, some don't. Some could have a major stroke and be fine. You know what I'm saying? And walking.
And then you have the mini strokes.
That's the TIAs. And that's what I'm talking about. So, yeah, that. So they're saying they're no longer calling them that. They're saying there's no such thing as a mini stroke. Well, sure there is, because you could have the facial drooping, the slurred speech, and all of that, and then, like, because when I was in hospice, when I was still working at Traditions, we had a lady who was walking, talking, dementia patient, but still she was walking and rambling and whatever. And then the next minute, she's leaning over her walker saying she's on the floor. And we could hear her yelling down the hall. And this was in a facility. And me and the other nurse went down there and we're talking to her. And then within minutes, she went from talking to slurred speech to unresponsive within 5 minutes. And she was unresponsive for 10. Now, here's the thing. She's on hospice. It's not like, you know what I'm saying? Hospice is, you know, you're not going to do, you know, no heroic treat, you know, anything like no CPR, nothing like that. But here's the thing. Within 15 minutes, she's awake, responsive, talking, and able to stand up and walk again. Did she have a massive stroke? No. That's what I'm saying. I don't agree with that. I don't agree with, you know, because normally when you have a stroke, like I said, you will lose one side of the body or the other. Usually. Sometimes it may just be the leg. Sometimes it's the leg and the arm. And you know what I'm saying? So it all depends, but that's just my take on it. But hey, whatever.
Well, now look what happened to my dad with that. It started out, he had a stroke, and then he had a lesion on his spinal cord, and the lesion turned into cancer, or not cancer, but tumor. And he from that lesion on his brain, spinal cord, he's now in a wheelchair. And that happened all within, what, Bobby, a month?
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. That's where something could go from acute to chronic. So that's what I'm saying. That's why people need to pay attention to stuff that's going on. And that's why I hate when doctors, and this is, I hate it. They just dismiss you. Oh, you're not old enough. Well, guess what, Skippy? Look at all these people who are dropping dead of all these heart problems, which we're going to go over two of them. Kids are dying of myocarditis and all of these other dropping dead of heart attacks. Well, we're not going to say why. We're keeping our opinions to ourselves. Because God forbid, but you know why. And I'm not going to say, you know. But anywho. So AFib is an irregular heart rhythm or arrhythmia. Oh, I already said that. Oh, they're repeating it. That's just really good. So if you have AFib, the normal cycle of electrical pulses in your heart is interrupted. If you ever have been to the doctor or the ER or whatever, and they hook you up to the EKG, you notice that little, you'll see how your heart beats and all that. All of those different patterns mean something different. So, and I'm not going to get into all of that complicated crap because I'll get confused. But each heart rhythm has its own. PVCs, PACs, AFib. I just know VTAC, it looks like a saw blade tooth, you know, up and down, up and down. That's VTAC, okay? Asystole, flatline. I mean, so some of those are pretty common. Everyone knows that they're when they see them. When the electrical impulses to your heart is interrupted, it leads to a fast, chaotic heart rhythm and poor movement of blood from your atria to your ventricles, which is why it's important if you have to start CPR, it's, you're trying to get everything started back up again. You're trying to jumpstart your heart. So a paroxysmal AFib, which lasts less than 1 week and usually stops on its own without treatment. So that's one type of AFib. Persistent AFib lasts more than 1 week and needs treatment. Long-standing persistent AFib lasts more than a year and is sometimes difficult to treat. So, like I said, that long-standing persistent AFib, a lot of people are on different types of blood thinners. So it depends, and they're changing. All these blood thinners change. It's like a revolving door. Some are better than others. And your older doctors will stick with your older blood thinners, if you've noticed, you know. And there are certain blood thinners that are better. Now, like, and here's the other thing, Lovenox. I don't know if you guys have been in the hospital for any length of time. Depending on why you're put in the hospital, you're giving a Lovenox injection, which is a blood thinner, to prevent blood clots. Now, when I had COVID and I was in the hospital, when I've had surgery and I was admitted to the hospital, you get a shot in your stomach twice a day, and it's to prevent blood clots. And it doesn't matter how old you are. There's what's some of the others? I'm having a brain fart. Plavix is not a shot, but it's a pill. There's Plavix. There's clopidogrel. I mean, there's just so many of them. The thing about Plavix, if you have to have surgery or any type of dental work or anything like that, you have to go off the Plavix for, I believe it's 7 days, depending on what you're having done and depending on the doctor. It's usually 5 to 7 days. So some of those blood thinners you got to go off of. So if you have AFib and it's left untreated, it can lead to a stroke and other serious medical complications. So that's why it's important to know everything there is to know, as Phil calls it, your affliction. it is important. And if you're diagnosed with, I don't care what it is, do as much research as possible. Find out what everything.
You can't eat garlic. You can't eat garlic of any kind either before a surgery. That's a natural blood thinner.
Oh, yeah. It's good for your heart, though. Garlic is good for your heart, but yeah, you're right. So, like I say that, know everything there is to know about what's wrong with you. Like if you have whatever it is, I don't care what disease it is. It's important to know. But a lot of issues stem from what Phil's talked about, your minerals, your vitamins and stuff. You know, you could always help treat it that way as well. Also diet. So if you're on blood thinners, well, guess what? You can't have green leafy vegetables. So there's no more kale, spinach, collard greens, none of that, because there's vitamin K and greens, and that's the antidote to a blood thinner. So that's why it's important to know what to eat and things like that. So what are the symptoms of AFib? Extreme fatigue, irregular heartbeat, heart palpitations. Well, guess what? Heart palpitations, irregular heartbeat, and fatigue pretty much go for all your cardiac problems. feeling butterflies or a like a fish flopping on your chest, that's kind of like the heart palpitations, but those are also PVCs, preventricular contractions. I had them for the longest time, but because of the medication that I'm on, I don't have them anymore. And it does. It feels like butterflies are in your chest. It really does. And sometimes you have to go and catch your breath. That's what PVCs are. And there is a term for PVC. If you have one, you can have one PVC or two or three. And that's when it goes, I believe it's a PVC, a bigeminy, trigeminy, and then it could go into VTAC, and then, well, you go into full-blown cardiac arrest. Dizziness or lightheadedness, fainting, shortness of breath, or chest pain, or as they really call it, angina. And there are, for people that have angina, there are medications, nitro paste. I'm on isosorbide mononitrate. It's the nitrate that's in that blood pressure medicine. It's a 24-hour dosage of nitro. So, therefore, I don't have to take the nitro anymore. I was taking nitro left and right because of the type of angina that I have. And thank God, it's been years. I don't like medication. I really don't. But there are times when you can't avoid it, that you need to be on medication. So if you think you have AFib symptoms, it's important, like I said, pay attention to your body. Go talk to your doctor, and they can send you to a specialist. I don't have a cardiologist, not anymore. I have just a regular PCP. So, but if you feel your PCP is not doing a great job managing whatever's wrong, ask for that specialist, and they can refer you out. So if your heart rate feels erratic or weak, that could be a sign you're in AFib. However, sometimes you may notice or may not notice changes in your pulse, especially if your AFib isn't advanced. So you may just feel tired or out of breath or anything like that, so which is why it's important to pay attention to your body. So they're going over signs of bleeding, bright red blood if you start vomiting or if there's blood in your stool or your urine, severe pain in your head or abdomen, drastic vision changes, difficulty moving your arms or legs, or memory loss. These are signs of bleeding in your brain, digestive system, or urinary tract. Now, with the bleeding in your vomit, stool, or urine, bright red is one thing. It's if it turns black. That's a completely other thing. Bright red means it's fresh. And when, you know, if you notice blood when you bleed or whatever, it gets darker and darker, and it gets old. And it also smells rancid, and that's something you'll never forget the smell of. But like in your stool, you could have internal hemorrhoids. And if you get constipated, it could tear them and make you bleed. So that's why it's you don't have to completely panic just yet. It's once it becomes a lot, or if it turns black, that's when you have to worry. This one just went right into a heart attack. Let's see. Oh, they're going into all of them, and I don't want to do that just yet. Some researchers have called AFib the new cardiovascular disease epidemic of the 21st century, especially amongst older adults. Over 33 million people, 55 and over, have been diagnosed globally. Estimates predict that 12 million people in the U.S. will have AFib by 2030. and AFib causes nearly 500,000 yearly hospitalizations in the U.S. to more and more deaths with each passing year. Now, here's the other thing, like I said. Depending on the country you live in, third world countries, this is the reason why they have more deaths, because, one, they don't have access to medical, as good of medical care as we do, or other countries. And plus, not to mention the advanced technology and all of that, you know, so that's the whole thing. So changes or damage to your heart's tissue and electrical system can cause AFib, usually coronary artery disease, high blood pressure. Those are the biggest ones that contribute to AFib. And the thing that we were talking about a little while ago about panic attacks, here's the thing. A panic attack mimics a heart attack, right? It does, a lot of the symptoms. And a lot of times they've dismissed a younger person. Oh, you just had a panic attack. Well, guess what? My panic attack led to my heart attack because I couldn't get my shit together. And I kid you not, that's what happened. So that's why it's important, you know, if you know yourself, if you have panic attacks, know how to calm yourself down. Or know what your triggers are, because I'm telling you, there are lots of things that trigger people, and it can be the dumbest thing, but you know what? Shit happens, and you got to know how to deal with it. So, EKGs, echocardiograms, and blood tests, that's how they can detect AFib. So... And the next one was a heart attack or an MI or a myocardial infarction. So any questions so far on those or comments or whatever?
Nope.
Blah, blah, blah. Nope. Okay. Go on to the next. So here's the thing about heart attacks. So... a heart attack occurs when the blood flow to the heart is severely reduced or blocked. And the blockage is usually due to a buildup of fat, cholesterol, and other nasty things. But guess what? You don't have to have a blockage to have a heart attack. So, oh, crap, I can't see. Oh, I got dust in my eye. Sorry, guys. I can't see. The fatty cholesterol-containing deposits are called plaque, and the process of plaque buildup is called atherosclerosis. Sometimes plaque can rupture and form a clot that blocks the blood flow, so that's what happens. So you can have the plaque that sticks to the artery, to the sides of the arteries and the veins, or it could break off and like a fat embolus or whatever, and that's what – damn dog. So prompt treatment is needed for the heart attack, and that's why they call it the golden hour. Whenever you first notice symptoms, to get to the ER. And so, usually, if I'm still correct on this, if you notice, if you start having chest pains and you call EMS, especially if you have prior history of heart attack, angina, or whatever, what's the first thing they're going to give you? 4 baby aspirin, and you're going to chew them nasty, bitter things and eat them. A lot of times they'll give you nitro. So depending on your blood pressure, also how high it is. So symptoms of heart attack, they vary between men and women. And they're finding out that women have different symptoms of heart attacks than men do. Some are mild, and some are what we call widow makers. And that's usually when someone has a widowmaker, that's usually like they've had a 90% blockage in all their arteries. And you're damn lucky if you survive a widowmaker. You really are. So the common symptoms of a heart attack, chest pains that feels like pressure, tightness, pain, squeezing, aching, crushing, feels like an elephant sitting on you, you know that. So a lot of times that pain will radiate to the shoulder, the arm, the back, the neck, the jaw, your teeth, or sometimes the upper part of your abdomen. And a lot of times you'll hear them, oh, that's just heartburn. So that's what they like to do is just this, they'll either say it's a panic attack or they'll say it's heartburn, which is really irritating. But sometimes it is. So, you know, now for women, they've noticed that a lot more women have the lower jaw pain when they have a heart attack. I'm not saying that guys can't, but it's more prominent in women to have the lower jaw pain. Usually it's pain to your left arm, a cold sweat, fatigue, heartburn or indigestion. See, heartburn. Now, here's the thing. You will have both, but the heartburn is because you're having a heart attack. Lightheadedness or sudden dizziness, nausea or shortness of breath. Now, for those of you who've had a heart attack, whether mild or major heart attack, whatever, and any subsequent time after that, I don't know if you guys have noticed this, EMS, and the doctor at the ER is going, usually what's going to ask you, does this feel like the first time that you had a heart attack? Because sometimes when you have multiple heart attacks over, I've had three from 34, 38, and 42. That's what was my ages when I've had them. Each one was different. So that's why they ask you. Sometimes you're going to have the same exact symptom every time. Some you won't. So it all depends. So like I say, women have atypical symptoms. Sometimes a sharp pain in the neck, the arm, or the back. I've never noticed that myself personally. Sometimes the first symptom of a heart attack is a sudden cardiac arrest. Boom. I'm talking, no matter what you do, sit down, lay down, whatever, stop doing what you're doing, it's not stopping. And a lot of times is what we were taught when I was first in nursing school, which I don't agree with it now, but they're saying if you start having chest pains, right, and it lasts more than 15 minutes, and this is why I think they did it to scare us, I don't know. They're saying if your chest pain lasts longer than 15 minutes, well, you're probably going to end up having a major heart attack and die. I'm like, well, shit. So I think the point they're trying to get across is usually the pain will subside if it's not really, if it's like indigestion or a panic attack. I believe that's what the point they're trying to get across, but sometimes I think it was done in a bad way. So anyway, if you think you're having a heart attack, call 911 or get to your doctor right away. If you have nitro, take your nitro. Now, each cardiologist is going to do something different with the nitro. Depending on your circumstances, you take one, and if you still having chest pains in 5 minutes, you take another one. And then 5 minutes later, if you still have it, you take a third one. Some doctors want you to go after three. Mine was two. And probably because I was young and I had already had a few heart attacks. So I think that's why mine did what he did. So it all depends. CPR. I think everybody needs to be trained in CPR in one way, shape, or form. But here's the thing. If you were not trained, not, N-O-T, not trained in CPR, they want you to do only compressions. That's it. If you're trained in CPR, then do the compressions and the two rescue breaths. part of the reason why is because if you don't do the rescue breathing right, you could do a lot of damage. So, and it's still the same. So if you're doing strictly just chest compressions, it's about 100 to 120 compressions a minute. Make sure you're doing them right. And here's the thing about CPR. You may crack ribs, even if you're doing it right, because you don't know what the condition of the person's, their bones are. You really don't. Now, if you're doing it too hard, well, shit, yeah, you're going to crack some ribs. So watch out, because you can also puncture a lung if you're doing it wrong. Okay. Oh, shut up. Hold on a second. Oh, it's 8 o'clock. We got a couple more to go over. We kind of went over coronary artery disease. I'm going to just go over a little bit more. That's the blockages, the buildup of plaque, and all of that crap in your artery. Let's see. Plaque. These are kind of all the same thing. We already went over a little bit. I don't want to double and triple over all of this. So with coronary artery disease, the angina, the shortness of breath, the fatigue, and heart attack. So here's the thing. Just because you have a heart attack doesn't mean you have coronary artery disease. Just because you have angina doesn't mean you're going to have a heart attack. A lot of times with the angina, it's hard to distinguish, and this is why they also ask you about this. Angina affects all of the chest wall muscles. And so it's hard to distinguish in the heart attack. I mean, that's why they do all your cardiac enzymes and the EKG and all that cool stuff to tell if you're having a heart attack or not. I don't know about anybody else, but when I was having angina attacks, I would still feel like crap the next day because I have what you call Prince Metal angina, and it affects all of the chest wall muscles. And I literally felt like I went like 10 rounds with friggin' George Foreman or pick another boxer, and they just friggin' pummeled my chest to death. And that's how, because of how exhausting it feels. So yeah, kind of sucks. Myocarditis, this is the other one when we were talking about. Come on. You guys still with me or did you disappear? Hello?
I'm here. You made me turn my phone off because I forgot what buttons. There's too many hertz on this phone.
No, I'm myself. Quiet. So myocarditis is one of those heart problems that that people are just dropping dead from, and the issue will remain nameless. So myocarditis is an inflammation of the heart muscle, the myocardium, the outer muscle of the heart, and the inflammation can reduce the heart's ability to pump blood. So that can cause chest pain, shortness of breath, rapid or irregular heart rhythms. So here's the thing with myocarditis. An infection with a virus is one cause of myocarditis. Sometimes a drug reaction or a general inflammatory condition causes myocarditis. You know where I'm going with this, guys? Yeah. That's a real issue. But no, seriously, there are viruses, though, real other viruses that have caused myocarditis, other serious heart, other infections. So severe myocarditis weakens the heart so that the rest of the body doesn't get enough blood. So clots can form in the heart, leading to heart attack and stroke. That's the whole thing. So when your heart beats, so the electrical impulse is in your heart. It's like a battery has to shock it. That's the pulse. That's the heartbeat, the lub-dub that you feel or hear. And when it does it, it pushes the blood through the lungs, oxygenates it, and then it comes back and it goes through the rest of your body, and the deoxygen is just, it's a big cycle, and that's why your heart beats. So with the myocarditis and the inflammation, your heart doesn't beat as strong, and that's the problem. So the weaker the heart is, the less it, you see what I'm saying? The same thing with your kidneys. Your heart and your kidneys work together. With kidney failure and chronic kidney disease, your body can't pump out all the waste. So that's kind of, everything works together. God was really smart when he made the human body. Every system, believe it or not, works together. Some people with early myocarditis don't have any symptoms, and others have mild symptoms. So some of the common symptoms are, guess what? Chest pain and fatigue, swelling of the legs, ankles, and feet, rapid or irregular heartbeat, shortness of breath, shortness of breath at rest or during activity, lightheadedness, flu-like symptoms like headache, body ache, joint pain, fever, or sore throat. Basically, like I've said 100 billion times before, every damn illness known to mankind has the same friggin' symptoms. If you haven't noticed. Side effects of medications pretty much all have the same symptoms. Why? Because you have to ingest it. So 9 times out of 10, it's going to give you those GI problems. So like I said, pay attention. That's why we have lab work. So children can develop myocarditis. So they may have difficulty breathing, chest pain, fainting, fever, rapid breathing, and arrhythmia. So, looky. Remember what I said? And this is the Mayo Clinic now, right? Many viruses have been linked to myocarditis. The common cold, COVID, big bold letters was COVID, hepatitis B and C, parvovirus, which causes a mild rash usually in children, which they call it the fifth disease. But not many kids have the fifth disease. That's kind of like it's gone out. Not to mention, what's it called? Scarlet fever is another one. And herpes simplex. Well, I'm going the wrong way here. So GI infections like mono, Epstein-Barr, the German measles can also cause myocarditis. HIV can also cause myocarditis. Bacteria. You mostly see bacteria problems cause myocarditis than anything. Staph, strep, and the bacteria that causes diphtheria and Lyme disease. Those are big time with myocarditis. Parasites. Toxoplasma. And fungus can cause it. Certain medications or illegal drugs can cause... Ow, damn it. Hold on, we're going to take a time out. Oh, my God. Sorry, guys. Jesus, dog. Hold on. Pat's home, so they can hear a flea fart, I swear. Ow! And they jump up and... What? Damn dog. Sorry, guys. So complications of myocarditis, heart failure, heart attack or stroke, rapid or irregular heart rate, arrhythmias or sudden cardiac death. So if you have myocarditis, if you have myocarditis, avoid close contact with people that are sick. It's one of those things, the more serious the illness that you have, you want to stay away from other sick people, especially those with the flu or respiratory illnesses. If you're sick with symptoms of a viral infection, try to avoid exposing others. Hold on one second. Well, you guys get awful quiet. Hold on.
I'm in the middle of trying to get all these people the hijacker put on my phone.
Oh, what happened?
My phone got hijacked. Somebody totally took over my phone. I can't get into my regular.
Oh, you got hacked.
No, I got hijacked.
You got hacked.
Hijacked. They took over
hijacked.
My phone. I can't. Yeah.
I know.
I had no control.
Somebody hacked into your phone and took total control over. Yeah, that's what it means. You got hacked.
Uh-huh. Well,
that's. It sucks. A friend of mine, my old roommate, his phone, he got hacked. And I was actually getting text messages from his supposed number. And we looked on it, and I'm like, dude, you're not even texting me. And so that's what happened. Yeah, if your phone gets hacked, that's what happens. They could get into everything.
Yeah, but
and
what's
that's
really
why,
funny is they hacked both my accounts, my broken heart one and the one where it looks like I'm in a tent. And when I was in the one that I was using, like last week, the one with me in the tent, they were hacking into my broken heart one, and I ended up in Facebook jail for whatever they posted on it for 3 days. So when I finally got into one of my accounts, I couldn't do anything. I couldn't even get on Messenger. I couldn't get on my settings. My settings was all screwed up.
Oh, yeah. Somebody hacked into my Facebook, which was on my phone, and they kept changing my damn password. And I'm like, this is bullshit. And I lost the whole account, my whole Facebook. I lost over 5,000 pictures, and I'm pissed about
yeah,
that.
See, that was the weird thing about it, is you have to reset your password, so I'd go in, I'd do that, and then it would say something I can't remember, and then I'd have to start all over and come up with another password. I couldn't finish the process.
Oh, yeah. And it would piss me off, and I'm like, that's how I knew. And so I started creating passwords that nobody could possibly friggin' know. And that's how I know I got hacked. Because every keystroke you make, they're going to see it on their computer. That's how
mm-hmm.
they know. And I'm like, piss on it. You just fucking take my damn Facebook account. And I just created another one.
And I was about to that point. I took it to a computer place. I took it to a computer place, and they somewhat fixed it, but it's still fucked up.
Oh, I know. But that's why I'm kind of skittish about putting any of my information on my laptop, because it's just so much shit can happen. Now, on my phone, I have so much security on my phone, it's not even funny. And so, what you call it? I've got my password plus my face ID. Plus, there's so many. I do all of it. I do the eyes, the face, the finger, you know, your fingerprint. I do all of it. I'm like, I ain't doing this shit again.
Right.
It gets annoying. It gets annoying after a while, but you got to protect your shit.
Now, there's rumors going around that Facebook is going to start charging money.
They've been doing that for years. They've been saying that shit. They've been saying if you don't have this certain you gotta post this little thing or they're going to start charging you $19 a month or whatever. I'm like, whatever. I don't care. they won't do it because they'll lose money.
Uh-huh. Well, if they start charging, I'm out. I ain't paying them nothing.
Oh,
why
I'm
would
paying
I pay them
shit.
Money when I'm sitting in jail all the time?
Well, here's the thing. I get a lot of things that I buy online, I'll get from a Facebook ad. My shoes, my scrub, I've bought products that I'll see an advertisement. So that's why they won't really go to making people pay for Facebook, because of all the advertisements that's on Facebook and all the shit you can buy. That's
right.
Why they won't do it. So I'm going to go. There's only really one more. We've already covered all these other ones. But VTAC is a fast heartbeat rhythm of the ventricles, the lower chambers of the heart. And this is what causes dizziness or chest pain. And the thing with the VTAC, like I said, it looks like, hold on a second, like a sawtooth. It's just jagged up and down, up and down, up and down. And you got to stop that rhythm. You have to, or you die. Hold on a second. Where'd my Mayo Clinic go? Huh? He already went out a while ago. Hold on, give me your leash.
I'm down to 900 friends.
Down to 900?
Hey,
yeah, there was 1,130.
Shit, I only have 700.
These ain't my friends. These are ones they put on my phone.
Huh?
These are ones they put on my phone. These ain't mine.
Oh, I only have 700 friends on Facebook. I got rid of half of mine. I didn't care.
That's what I'm doing right now.
So normally your heart will go from 60 to 100 beats a minute. Well, guess what? Some people could go into the 50s, and that's called bradycardia. When you're totally relaxed, you're sleeping, your heart, everything slows down when you're sleeping. Mine's been as low as 40. Hey, what the hell? And when it gets really low, people are like, and they start to flip out over that. So it's okay if your heart's in the 50s. Usually, and I hate to say this, and it, just because your heart's beating in the 50s does not mean you're an athlete, because guess what? I was not, and I was in the 50s. So, yeah, that told me shit. So usually once it starts hitting 90, a lot of people will start – you could actually feel – some if you're in the 90s, sometimes you can feel it and you feel kind of crappy. Now, when you exercise, you get scared. You're stimulated. It will make – it's the fight or flight. It's going to make your heart rate go up. So tachycardia is over 100. Now, when most people exercise, it can get up there 150 to 175 beats a minute, depending on what you're doing. And believe it or not, the one thing that the doctors or cardiologists will tell you, if you've had a heart attack, right, depending on your age, hey, if you're still having sex, you know what the first thing you're going to tell you is? Well, especially when someone says, when can I get sex, doc? When you can walk up a flight of stairs without getting winded or tired. Because, believe it or not, any rigorous activity will cause your heart rate to go up. Not trying to be, you know, a little fresh, nothing. But all of that. Anxiety makes your heart rate go up. Pain makes your heart rate go up. Crap, my freaking... let's see. So when the heart beats too fast, it may not pump enough blood to the rest of the body. Precious, get over here. So chest pain, dizziness, pounding heart, which is palpitations, lightheadedness, and shortness of breath. VTAC can go away on its own within 30 seconds. That's called a non-sustained VTAC. If it lasts more than 30 seconds, it's called sustained VTAC. Brief episodes may not cause any symptoms, but sustained VTAC can cause serious problems like fainting, loss of consciousness, and guess what? Death. So if you got that, you know, and it doesn't stop, you can die. So, but let's see. So VTAC is caused by a faulty heart signaling that triggers in the lower chambers with the ventricles. And the fast heart rate doesn't allow the ventricles to squeeze and fill and pump enough blood to the body. Because of the body, not the potty. So when your heart's beating too fast, think about it this way. If it's beating too fast, it's not properly squeezing the heart enough to pump blood throughout the body. So that's why you get that lightheadedness, loss of consciousness, because you're not getting blood throughout the body. A lot of people that are prone or susceptible to VTAC are prior heart attacks or other heart conditions that have caused a scarring of the heart tissue, poor blood flow to the heart due to coronary artery disease, congenital heart diseases, including long QT syndrome, imbalance of substance in, like, your when they do cardiac enzymes. Also, if you this is why it's important to have your potassium, sodium, calcium, and magnesium. They check all those levels. And that's why it's important to have enough of those electrolytes in your body. Medication side effects. Cocaine and methamphetamine can also put you in VTAC. It's a stimulant. Some of your diet medication, it will tell you on the bottle when you read it. If you have AFib, VTAC, prior heart attack, you read, depending on what the product is, it will tell you not to take it because it speeds up your heart rate. So if you need to lose weight, make sure you don't, and that's why they tell you about not to drink Monster, Red Bull, those 5-hour energies, not to use them. The only 5-hour energy that I'm allowed to use is the pomegranate because it has B12. It's natural stimulant, the B12s and all of that. I can't have the other ones because it has too much caffeine. So I avoid those like the plague. I don't drink Monster, Red Bull, or any of that crap. So, but that's all I got for the cardiac. I mean, we kind of, some of these go go into all the other ones. And so, hold on a second. Let me go over this real quick. Like the angina, we went over angina, and things like that. Plus, there's other things like cardiac tamponade, and that's way in depth and all of that. That's why I kind of skipped that one, which is a cool thing because I've always wanted to look it up, which I probably will. But yeah, those are the most common things with cardiac problems. But that's all I got. I got a hold on. Yeah, I have a I'm on call 24/7. I don't get a day off.
What do you
now.
Call? What are they calling you?
You know, I hope they don't. Little fuckers. No, seriously, I'm the only nurse, so I'm always on call. But usually they don't. Usually they don't call. Usually it's the same residents that they have issues. And I, you know, it's kind of hard with these people because you can't really. It's hard to explain. They're just, they're a train wreck. And
hey, do you know how you can tell who the head nurse is?
Yeah.
You do?
Sure. No, seriously, how?
It's the one with the dirty knees. It's the one with the dirty knees.
Funny. Funny.
Smart ass.
Yeah.
Oh, so did I tell? I told you guys. You heard my wonderful news, right? This is a load of shit. That's all I got to say. The VA sucks ass. Everybody who's a veteran knows this crap. I am 51 years old, and they will not do a complete knee replacement, and that's what I need. I need a complete knee replacement, and they won't do it because I'm not old enough. So,
I told you, we'll do it
like,
for free.
Yeah, bite me. No. So I knew shit was going to happen. I knew this was going to be the issue. Normally when you have wear and tear of cartilage, it's, you know, like straight across. No, my wear and tear, half the knee, left side, right? The whole right side of my left knee is worn bone to bone. The left side is, it's wearing down. So it's whatever. So, and then I got bone spurs on the right side. And so that's what's the, that's the sharp pain I feel. It's kind of like it's snipping away at the tendon on the bottom side. So the surgeon goes, well, you need a, you could get a knee transplant or a knee replacement. I'm like, cool. He's like, yeah, but we don't do that here. I'm like, wow, you guys are awful useless, you know, to be an orthopedic surgeon. What the hell? Apparently, it's a specialty. And there's only so many surgeons that do that shit here in Wichita. So, and you have to be 40, a minimum of 40 years old to do a knee, to replace the kneecap. And that's really what I need, and they'll put in whatever to fix it. But here's the gross thing, and this really is kind of gross, kind of my kneecap moves more than it's supposed to. That's why my knee was hurting so bad since the middle of January, where I couldn't walk. That's why. It's pulling on the ACL and the MCL, or the LCL, and it's pulling towards the right, towards the inner part of my leg. That's why the sharp pain. That's why the inflammation. So, it's pretty sad. I had to tape my knee. Like a lot of athletes will tape their knees, their ankles, their thigh, whatever. I tape it from the inside out and then from the bottom up to hold my kneecap in place because the VA sucks and they don't carry the special knee brace that I'm supposed to have. And the surgeon goes, well, you could wear a knee brace for the rest of your life. I could, but I'm not. So Friday when
That's
I have
bullshit.
my it is bullshit. And I told him, I said, dude, I'm not taking freaking medications the rest of my life either. I'm like, I'm not doing it. Why should I have to? Here's the thing. They're like, well, you're not old enough, but we're going to make you suffer until you are old enough to you have bone on bone and I can't do shit. So what kind of living is that? Why? I get why total knees only last 10 to 15 years. I get it. Okay. So say it lasts 15 years. I'll be 65, 66. By the time that rolls around, they'll have to do another one. Maybe. I don't know. The last knee surgery I had lasted 29 years. Fuck, I'll be 80 years old if that shit happens. So
right?
I won't care. I won't care. God willing, we won't be here. So who cares? The more you do surgery on the same bone, it causes it to break down, and I get that. But you shouldn't have to suffer. So now I'm going to have to go out into the community and get a civilian doctor. And I have to, when I have my appointment Friday with my new doctor, I'm going to tell her, do the referral, bitch, because I ain't waiting. Because if I have to wait until my new insurance kicks in, I'm done with the VA. They can kiss my ass. Because I'm over that crap. We shouldn't have to suffer.
And that's why I go out in town. I said, fuck it.
But you see, you have SSI, right? Or SSDI?
No, just Social Security Disability.
Okay.
You get Medicare with it.
And then you have your 100% VA, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, I don't have that. I can't get SSI or SSDI. And I had 100% unemployability, and the government said, nah, or the state said, nah, you can't have SSI because you're not legally blind. How about this? Piss off, fucker. I earned my right to have SSI, but then they wouldn't let me have it, so I went back to work. I couldn't afford to live on what I was getting. So
yeah.
I'm like, fuck that. So all this work, God willing, we'll have an apocalypse and, just stop fucking talking about it. Bring on the zombie dinosaurs or the alien zombies or whatever the hell we're going to have, because this is getting old. Oh, we talked about that today, about Zelensky and all his infinite wisdom telling Biden we need to send American sons and daughters so they can go to the Ukraine and fight for their country and die. Listen. No, I'll help Russia before I help the Ukraine. He can fuck off. Because, no way. And people are too stupid to understand what's really going on, and it has nothing to do with whatever. It has to do with the sex trafficking of children, and the Ukraine is the hub of all of it, and people want to be stupid and believe what they want to believe. So, oh well. But, anywho, to be all, I'm going to probably go to bed and actually get some friggin' sleep tonight, maybe, if my dogs don't act stupid. We have to separate the damn dogs. We had one dog in one bedroom, one in another bedroom, one in the living room last night, because they are stupid. So... I know, I feel bad because my poor dog, she was shaking so bad and she didn't know, what was going on. So I'm trying to keep her. I'm trying not to get rid of her. I don't want to have to. You know, she doesn't deserve to be put down or put back at the animal control because of whatever reason, And oh, by the way, this has nothing to do with medical, but if you abuse animals, you need to be shot right between the eyes.
Yep.
I am sorry.
Yep.
But I find animal abuse so, so wrong. Because they're so rotten to the core, especially when you have little retards like I got. Oh, my God. I'm telling you. They're rotten. But anywho, I'm going to go get ready for bed. So.
All righty. Again, another great show. Thank you again for being here, dear Lorna.
Yeah,
thank you, buddy. And look who's late. It's old Dr.
Hey, guys.
Phil. Hey, so FYI, animal abuse is a sign of serial killers.
Yep.
Oh,
so
really?
Yeah, it does have a psychiatric component in the medical field. When we hear of people abusing animals, then we know we have a psych patient to deal with.
Isn't that the triad, bedwetting, animal abuse, and I forgot what the other one was.
Well,
so
sometimes
you
that's associated with sexual abuse.
Huh?
Yeah. And sometimes
you
that's associated with sexual abuse. Well,
now, I got a question. Do you believe that children can be sociopaths?
Yep.
Absolutely.
So why don't they want, I believe they can too, but why don't they like to diagnose children under 13 as a sociopath? Like some of these kids that are 5 years old, 6 years old, that kill their siblings or another child. They're like, oh, they're not crazy. Okay.
No, actually, some of them they do. They even try them as adults. But I mean, the really young ones, like under six, under five, it's because they haven't had the cognitive development yet, or at least been offered, you know, the cognitive development.
Yeah.
So I would, but they still have neurological, psychological disconnections and or dysfunctional thinking. So yeah, they
wouldn't
do
you say
exist.
That's part of? Wouldn't you say that's like a lack of emotion, like people that have absolutely no emotion, nothing, no
well,
remorse.
A flat affect, lack of emotion, that's more schizophrenic. You know, you look at somebody, like I have a patient, and his affect, or when you look at his face, he doesn't have any smile or any frown, and he talks, you know, and he stares at you like he's bleeding through you. And you don't know whether the guy's going to hit you upside the head when you're not looking, or he's going to hug you, because you can't read his emotion. But he's schizophrenic, and that's part of that. And there's different forms of schizophrenia, so you just gotta, you know, watch out for people who don't show emotion. That's all.
The other thing is, especially if they commit a heinous crime, and they show absolutely no emotion, none.
Well, you know, you can also put a kid on Adderall, and they won't show any emotion either, because they're actually trapped inside like a box in their mind. They're not showing the emotion, but they can focus their attention. And a lot of people put the kids on Adderall as a babysitter, but you're not supposed to use that medication except for educational school, and in some adults for work, for focus and concentration. But when you're not working or you're not in school, you're supposed to take the holiday off of it so you can start thinking the way you normally think. And hopefully, eventually, your mind can develop to a point where you don't need the medication.
True. Very true.
Oh, and Bobby put a post on the group blog, said something about it would be cool if condoms had, like, those temporary tattoos on the inside of them. But Bobby, you got to lick them for them to stick.
That's what the woman's for.
Mm. Oh, well, I'll let you ladies handle that one.
Well, maybe we can have this discussion about some of these issues on our next show.
Like,
sociopath and all that cool shit.
The DSM-4, you know, it keeps changing every year, so the diagnosis keeps changing. And
no,
so
I know.
And with today's society, everyone either is ADHD or OCD or anxious. I mean, I haven't met a teenage female that's not anxious. I haven't met a public school student that doesn't have anxiety. Everyone has anxiety, but when you consider it now a medical diagnosis that needs medication, I think they go too far with it.
Oh, this is – hold on a second. It's going to take me a second to get on here. One of my new residents she's got dementia, but this is, and I can't stand when I get these patients, these residents, with these diagnosis codes, because to me it's like slapping a Band-Aid on something because you don't want to deal with it and just call it what it is and like unspecified whatever, because you have no clue. I hate those, but this is, hold on a second. It just takes a few moments for my laptop to catch up. But she has unspecified dementia with, hold on. But when you were talking about all these new, that like the DSM-5 with all the new diagnoses, we have schizoaffective, paranoid schizophrenic with antisocial tendencies and...
Right. They're trying to be more specific, and it makes it more difficult to diagnose. If you see a diagnosis of unspecified schizophrenia or unspecified dementia, most likely it's coming from the primary doctor because the doctor is only diagnosing the dementia but not the actual specific form of the dementia, and they're waiting for the psychiatric eval.
Oh, yeah. But this is what the one I just got, and like I said, I was wondering if she's really bipolar because of the way she acts. But this is what she has, unspecified dementia, unspecified severity, without behavioral disturbance, psychotic disturbance, mood disturbance, and anxiety. That's a blatant lie, because she's got every bit of that. Yesterday, when she moved
hold on,
in...
Hold on, wait a second. That doesn't make sense. You said that's a blatant lie because she has every bit of that?
She's got every bit of... This is saying unspecified dementia, which means
okay.
without behavior disturbance, psychotic disturbance, and mood. She's got all of that.
Well, here's the thing. Colonel, here's the thing, though. Maybe a lot of times diagnoses from the past will continue to be carried over and over with the patient. There may have been one time where she did have unspecified dementia without a behavior. If she's having behavioral disturbances, are those disturbances caused by the dementia or are they caused by something else? You got to think about that.
Well, the only reason why I don't agree with it, and neither does anybody in the building, like I said, she moved in the day before yesterday. She was up walking, talking, completely fine. As soon as the new PA gets in, she's like, oh, I can't walk. Now she can't walk. I think a lot of it is behaviors.
Is she trying to get that PA's attention, or is she scared of that PA?
No. She's trying to get everybody's attention.
Okay.
And that's, I just don't agree with some of these, because I don't know.
Some of the diagnosis?
Yeah.
The diagnosis could be more accurate.
Huh?
Or they're misdiagnosed.
Yeah.
Also,
but
you
she's
gotta consider
happy.
When it comes to dementia, there are some forms of dementia where a person is perfectly, perfectly normal until the sun goes down. And then
that's sundowners.
They lose it. Yeah, and it's not necessarily the sun goes down. It's a diurnal variation of what they call the circadian rhythm. So at one point or even twice a day, they're going to become demented, and then the rest of the day, perfectly cognitive. You can ask the person, who's the president? What's the date? When's your birthday? What year? You know, person, place, and time and space, you know, and they're perfectly normal. Then
did you hear about Bruce Willis?
Heard he was having some kind of speech disorder,
he has aphasia. They diagnosed him with aphasia a year ago. Well, now they have an official diagnosis that he has frontotemporal dementia.
Yeah, frontal temporal.
That's rough. That's rough because
He got hit in the head too many times.
I just took care of someone on hospice, and once he was diagnosed, within 1 year he died. and he lost complete ability to make a cognitive sentence. I mean, he was making full, and then within a year, that you had no clue. No clue. It's like the elevator didn't go all the way to the top floor. And you could see
There's some really weird things. People can see words but not say them, or they can write a word but not read it.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of weird issues
about,
like that.
The thing about frontal temporal dementia, it's hard getting placement for people with that type of dementia because of the behaviors that go with it. It's very
hard. Plus the inability to express themselves, to obtain histories from them, to do review of systems, makes it even more challenging for a provider. Yep. Well, it's the same thing with
the Lewy body.
Well, yeah, Lewy body is a lot of times associated with Alzheimer's, right?
Yeah.
But the problem with Lewy body is, at one point, I don't know if they can now, you could not diagnose it unless it was post-mortem and you did a autopsy of the brain to find the Lewy bodies. I don't know if they can find those now. Maybe they can while they're still living.
I can't remember. Yeah, I can't remember. But it's very hard to diagnose while they're still alive. But
I think Parkinson's is a really horrible one.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Alzheimer's for the elderly patients in the nursing homes, it's very, very challenging for the nurses because they're screaming, they're crying, they don't know why they're there, they don't recognize anybody, and they get to a point where they even forget how to eat, and then eventually they forget how to breathe and they pass.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And the thing that I heard, that early onset dementia, they don't have it as long and they die quicker with early onset. Now, I don't know how true that is, but I've seen a few early onset that have died quicker with it than those who...
It depends on if it's treated and how. If it's not treated, then of course it will progress faster, but there are treatments for it. And, you know, there's even cognitive behavioral therapy to help the progression of it. You know, for example, just doing crossword puzzles, you know, something to make your mind active or work. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's important to keep your mind working.
Yeah. You can't remember where your keys are, or you walk into a room and you don't remember why you walked in there to begin with. Sometimes it's not really dementia or short-term memory. What it is you're thinking about too many different things at one time and you're not focusing on what you need to do. And learning how to focus, you know, we tend to multitask a lot, right? We got the TV on, we got music on, we're watching our cell phone or reading stories on the phone. We know we got to go in and turn off the coffee pot, and we walk out of the bedroom while we're reading the story, and we get to the kitchen and you're like, wait a minute, why am I here?
And that's the thing, the going joke that I have. I have the mind of a goldfish. I swear to God, I will forget something, and I will, like, you'll tell me something right now, and before we hang up the phone, I'll be, God be damn, I forgot what the hell I was just talking about.
Uh-huh.
Or I'll start talking about it and forget. So that's why I have to write everything down, because I just, now I don't know if it's because of how many concussions I've had, I don't know. But it gets old pretty damn quick.
you need to educate Bobby that alcohol dementia is not reversible.
Oh yeah, wet brain. That is not wet brain is not reversible.
Yeah, alcohol dementia is not reversible. But there is such a thing as alcoholic recall. For example, I went to your house and had a party. Now I'm sober. I can't remember how to get there. I get drunk. I remember how to get there.
Oh, that's pretty sad, too.
Alcoholic recall. Yeah, it exists. Where did I leave that money? Where did I leave it? Well, let me just sit here and get drunk. Then I'll remember.
Yeah, not the best advice sometimes. But
there are a lot of different types of dementia, and well, one of them is definitely called vascular dementia, and as we age, as you know, genetics, hardening of the arteries, poor blood flow to the brain, and then there's other forms of dementia, and so yeah.
That's what scared me when they did the MRI on my brain. I'm like, oh shit, but because I've had, like I said, I've had so many concussions. And the neurologist is like, oh, no. My brain, it's normal. So some of the spots that I have, it's normal aging. You know?
Normal aging,
and I'm like, oh, good.
Yeah, huh? where they say things about decreased intensity of the white matter. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's a normal part of aging, but you also got there could also be microinfarcts going on because of other issues, too, that could cause that as well. So... is it a normal part of aging? It is, as long as you rule out all the other possibilities, such as having high cholesterol, having a family history of cardiovascular or, you know, disease, as far as having history of strokes or heart attacks in the family, you know, things like that can appear to be normal aging, but it's actually because the brain in certain areas is not getting enough blood flow, and that section of tissue dies. So the white matter.
Well, that's why I was wondering if the three heart attacks that I've had in the past have caused some of that damage.
Absolutely. You shut the blood supply off to the brain, and that area, if it doesn't get blood quick enough, it dies. It may just be a little section or a microscopic area, and it may not really even affect, you know, your normal five senses. But you're going to have those abnormal appearance on an MRI or even a CT. But anytime
that's why
the heart,
I was wondering.
Yeah.
See,
heart,
that's why I was wondering
is,
about me having so much forgetfulness.
It could be medication. It could be early onset. So do yourself a favor and print out a mini mental exam and take it every now and then. Once in a while, do it to yourself, self-assess.
Oh, yeah, and I do a lot of those, the mind games, the mental games that's on your phone, like on my phone, all the puzzle games and all of that, because you got to keep your brain active.
Who's on tonight?
Lorna.
Me.
And Bobby's supposed to. I don't know if he is or not.
He's
napping.
Yeah,
I heard him flush the toilet right now. Yeah, he's all right. Hey, so anyway, hey, congratulations, you guys, you know, with your missing persons. I keep hearing that they're finding people all over the place. So, and also,
awesome.
That, like, you know, a lot of the missing persons, you know, because maybe you guys are bringing it up, some of these cold case files are being solved because of DNA evidence. So these people were also considered missing, but now they're found because of, you know, finding out who they are through DNA and what so. So keep up the good work, guys.
And also now that I post everything on my page, and my friends, they'll sit there and turn around and share them also, where before they weren't doing it.
Okay. Well, that's good. You need that network. That'll be about. Yeah, I'll start sharing it too, because I know Bobby posts the recordings, I guess. And I haven't been sharing them because I don't really use Facebook a whole lot. I guess every now and then I'll chime in on that messenger and say hello. But I don't really appreciate, like, all of the crap people send you on there. You know,
I know.
I kind of avoid it. I just use it, you know, for communication purposes. But I don't like those images that people send. And then you'll hear, oh, if you open up this image, your phone has a virus. And, you know, so kind of paranoid about shit like that.
Yeah, I just got hijacked and hacked and all of that good stuff really bad.
Yep. Okay, so if I meet you and I tell a joke and you don't smile or laugh, then you have a flat affect and you're schizophrenic. Get it out of your cup. Okay,
you
all proved
stare,
yourself.
If you just stare, like, what the hell?
But you know, sometimes if you stare for a second and then you get back to focusing, that's actually a seizure going on. We call those absence seizures. Children experience those a lot. Yep, they'll be in class.
I've done that in the past, not recently. Like, I'll just be in a blank stare, and it's like, I don't, you know, it's like, oh, what?
Well,
I always thought it was intensely concentrating on whatever.
Well, if you're daydreaming, you know, if you're daydreaming or you're thinking about something, then you're going to do that. But these kids, when they get that stare, they don't remember why or what happened during that time. Like, their senses go off. So they're not thinking about something staring into space. It's actually a seizure that's going on inside their brain that doesn't, you know, show up. Like, they find them when they do the EEGs, the electroencephalogram.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the first person who's usually going to notice it will be a teacher. A teacher will see a kid staring off, say, hey, are you okay? And the kid doesn't respond, and then all of a sudden the kid comes back. And the teacher said, well, what happened? The kid said, I don't know. What are you talking about?
When I was in school, we were labeled as daydreamers.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they're just daydreaming all the time. That's why the grades are so bad. And that's what, back in the 70s and 80s, what they would put on the report cards.
Shit, when I was a teenager, I daydreamed a lot about that girl three rows over, you know? Okay, all right. It's getting pretty nasty here. So how's the weather where you guys are?
Sucky.
Man, it's been in the 80s here.
Shut up.
Yeah. It's hot here, but it's been really windy, and there's a lot of mold and dust and pollen and haze in the air. And I've got patients who are just running into the clinic thinking that they have COVID because of the allergens that they're experiencing. It's good for business.
Are they still testing for that?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because
we test all the time.
At work, one of my coworkers' friends got sick, and she went into the doctor because she was scared she had COVID, and they said they don't test for that anymore.
Well, it might be just that doctor, but
if we test for COVID and someone comes up positive, the whole building goes back on lockdown. Everybody has to wear a mask, and nobody's allowed to come in or out of the building. So we don't test for COVID. Oh, you got a cold. Okay, go stay in your apartment for 5 days. And that's what they do.
Yeah.
Right now,
we're still following CDC guidance on testing. And right now, if you have the symptoms, we can test you. It's optional. Don't have to. If you test positive, then it's 5 days isolation at home with a mask. After the end of the 5 days, if your symptoms have improved and you're not running any fever, without fever-reducing medication, of course, you can discontinue the isolation, but you continue wearing a mask in public for an additional 5 days. They don't recommend retesting because people are testing positive for 2-3 months after.
That's what I'm saying. It's pointless. Here's the thing, and this is what I say with any illness. If you have symptoms of something, stay home.
Well,
whether it's the stomach flu, pneumonia, a cold, whatever, stay home.
But people have to make money, kiddo, and not everyone can afford to stay home, so they go and they test, and if it's COVID, they stay home. But if it's not COVID, then they can take precautions and go to work. Right.
But that's what I'm saying. That's so pointless. It's like in the past, like the stomach flu, they didn't care. Just go to work. You get everybody sick. But it's like with certain illnesses, it's like, oh, my God, the world's going to come to a screeching halt. Why? You didn't do it for anything else.
Yeah.
Honestly,
the other thing is at one time, you've tested positive for COVID, you're home 10 to 14 days paid. So a lot of people still have that where they can get time off and get paid, and they'll come in and want to be positive for COVID.
Oh, yeah. We had a housekeeper. She tested negative 3 days in a row. I said, I am not testing you again. And they fired her.
Those at-home tests are I believe, there's a high false positive ratio with those at-home tests. Everyone testing that I've known that use those at-home tests, they're testing positive, even though they're not even sick.
Yeah.
So I think there's something wrong with those. But,
yep.
But the thing is like our clinic, it's a mom-and-pop clinic, and we try to make money. So we make money off the test. And so everyone who comes in and wants to be tested, we're going to test them. And whether they're positive or not, that's regardless. It's a money-making venture for a lot of doctor's offices. Those who are not testing, they either don't have the tests to perform the exam or they don't need the money. But it's not government-mandated not to test. It's optional.
Yeah. But until next week.
What's the deal with that Wuhan lab thing that they're saying it truly is did come out of there after they say that it didn't?
Oh, I know.
And the thing is, yeah, maybe it did come out of Wuhan lab, like an accidental, you know, it got out accidentally through the police. But was it truly the United States that was doing the experiment using the Wuhan lab in China? Because we gave them money, right? That's what they said. The CDC gave them money.
But also,
so
Deborah Birx came out and said she lied. She purposely lied to Trump. And, you know, it's coming out that it was, yes, if COVID's real, don't get me wrong, it is real, but they lied about how bad it was, the severity, and all of that. And here in some of these hospitals, if you came in with COVID, they put you on a ventilator knowing damn good and well you didn't belong on a ventilator. And they said anyone who was put on a vent died, and they never came off, and they died.
Well, you know, that's because hospitals were getting money for every patient that died. Even here, there's lawsuits going on because where I live, there was a neighborhood kid who was positive for COVID 2 weeks ago. Then the kid fucking overdosed. He goes to the ER, and they said it was COVID that killed him. It wasn't COVID that killed him. The kid overdosed. But they blamed it on COVID so they could get that money that the government was handing out for every COVID death. And
$50,000 per COVID death. There was a guy who died in a motorcycle accident, was decapitated. He died of COVID.
Yeah.
$100,000. He had COVID because
it's
he had COVID.
It's $100,000.
And it would not put it past me to say that they were actually killing people to get that bonus, because and not the nurses or the doc, they had protocols that they were set. The hospital businessmen and lawyers who are running these hospitals and the board of directors who dictate the protocol for the doctors and the nurses, they have to follow a certain protocol. If they have a severe illness or any wheezing, you got to put them on a ventilator right away. He doesn't need to be. But that's the protocol of this hospital. That's exactly what you have to do, or you can't work here. And then,
But see, when I had it, and I had blood clots in my lung, all I got was oxygen for one day. And but I was in the VA hospital. I was surprised. I'm like, no. And I was fine. And I don't get this one thing about the remdesivir. They're like, they're suing people over the remdesivir. I'm like, why? Oh, because people died. Well, I got it. My kidneys are perfectly fine.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing
they wanted to make money off of it. I gave people remdesivir. I even gave them ivermectin. I did a lot of off-label treatments on patients. And could I have gotten in trouble if somebody would have died? Yeah. nobody died.
But here's the thing, remdesivir kills your kidneys, right? It can. The thing is, if you already have kidney problems,
then you don't give it to them.
Chances are you shouldn't give it to them. And that's what I was telling people. Then you had a shitty doctor, because that's one, if you did an assessment, you'd know. And that's why you ask do a history and physical. And they asked me, and I'm like, nope. And I was on remdesivir for 5 days. Day three, I'm like, I'm ready to go. And he's like, no, it's only IV. You got to do all 5 days or you're coming back. And I was stuck in the hospital for 5 days. But hey,
yeah,
good to go.
I'm glad you're here.
Me
glad
too.
You're still here. Yeah. You know, when they do prescribe certain medications, even some simple medications you might not even think, the manufacturer's labels and the FDA tell you you should draw some baseline labs. A lot of doctors don't do that. They just put a person on a medicine, and then next thing you know, oh, my liver enzymes are elevated. Oh, really? Oh, maybe it's a medication. Let's check the GGT.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, and remdesivir is an antiviral, just like Tamsulosin is, right? Tamiflu. Tamiflu is an antiviral. Remdesivir, acyclovir, any of those vires, you know. They're all antivirals, and all of them can affect other organ systems. So you definitely do baseline testing for putting people on those.
Oh, definitely.
Like this Paxlovid now. I wonder what the hell is going on with that Paxlovid. And they're telling to put everybody at high risk for severe illness on Paxlovid.
Oh, hell no.
Mm-hmm.
I told my mom, my whole family regrets getting the vaccine now. Because my aunt and uncle, not one heart problem. Not one. They got all 500 booster shots, vaccines, and now they both have the myocarditis.
Yep.
Both of them.
Yeah. It's worse for the kids, though. That's the thing. You know, old people, fine.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you get a teenage kid coming in with myocarditis, and you're like, did you get the vaccine? Yeah, we got the vaccine. Now they want to give kids under six the vaccines, and I had to get the vaccines because of my hospital privileges and because of the job that I do. It was mandatory. And I was okay with it. I didn't trust it. I was scared something was going to happen to me. But I stopped at the first two. No more boosters. No nothing. So. Love you guys.
Oh, yeah,
thanks for quitting so early.
Love
I heard you were going to get off. Love you too, bud. Hey, Bobby, you need to get those condoms that have flavoring to them, man. Like one that tastes like the green apple, sour apple. Good night, Lerna. Good night, Colonel.
Good night. Good night, everybody. Thanks again, Kim. Another great show. God bless America. God bless our children, first responders, our military, veterans, the missing. And God bless the Defender 7.
God bless you guys.
Amen.